Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, July 24th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Hill Fire. Erratic behavior triggers evacuation warnings in Western Trinity. Veterans return to beloved office in Ukiah. And Congressman Huffman on Trump attempted assassination, Biden leaving the race, and Netanyahu in Washington. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Over 2,000 fire personnel continue to work on the Hill Fire burning south of Willow Creek. However, changing weather conditions and a spot fire have triggered new evacuation warnings for Western Trinity County. According to the Facebook information page Hill Fire 2024, resources are actively engaged in suppressing a spot fire on Sugarloaf Mountain to the west of Burnt Ranch. Crews are using water and retardant drops to keep the spot in check. However, there is a thick plume of smoke from the interior islands of trees burning within the perimeter of the main fire. For more, we spoke with Angela Goldman.
I'm an information officer on the Hill Fire. So yesterday evening, we did have a spot fire down on the southeast corner of the fire. Some of the internal burning that's still happening, those isolated pockets of unburnt fuel inside the fire line, torched out and threw some embers, and we started a spot fire near the top of Sugarloaf Mountain. So resources were diverted a little bit from the main fire to catch that spot fire, and they worked that all evening and in through the night. We were able to utilize water drops from the helicopters. We were not able to put retardant on it yesterday, but the hope is that we can get that done today. It grew to about 40 acres, and the crews are actively working that today. The remainder of the fire is, we're still similar in nature to what it was yesterday, where we're continuing to mop up the Forest Road 6, the 6NO6 road, that we are using as the eastern edge of the fire. And so the crews are in there. They're all up and down that patrol mopping up. So when we mop up, we go in, you know, we start at like 100 feet. And then once you get that done, you go to 200 feet. And what they're doing is putting out anything that is on fire that's still smoldering, still burning, so that nothing can get across the line. So they're working that very hard on the eastern side and the south side in Mosquito Creek drainage. There's a bunch of dozer line in there. There's some hand line in there. And so crews are just making sure they're pushing that black, that cold black, which means we've put everything out on the fire's edge, and we're gaining ground on that black. So the west side and the north side still look great. Those are in patrol and mop-up status. So the hand lines, all the lines are in, and those have been, we've been working on mop-up on those for the last several days. So just continuing that process and just making sure we're just keep moving a little bit farther and a little bit farther interior on the fire, just to make sure that there's absolutely nothing on the fire's edge that can push back over the line.
While the north side and the west side of the Hill Fire are looking secure, there are concerns for the east side of the fire, which is attributed to the recent evacuation warning issued by the Trinity County Sheriff's Office this afternoon. The Hill Fire is still solely burning within Humboldt County. However, the Trinity County Sheriff's Office cited its erratic behavior. The warning areas in Trinity include zones SFT-500, SFT-501, which includes most areas to the south of Forest Service Road 6N12 and west of Hennessy Ridge to the Humboldt County line, and south along the Shasta Trinity and Six Rivers National Forest line to just south of Underwood Peak. An evacuation warning means residents should prepare to leave if the fire makes a run in the eastern direction, and then order is issued. Zone maps are available online at tinyurl.com/ MSMEB7MC. Notably, Humboldt and Trinity County's evacuation zone apps are on different platforms, unlike Humboldt and Mendocino. But the nonprofit app Watch Duty has combined the information to be in one convenient location. That map is at watchduty.org. However, Watch Duty is not considered an official source by emergency agencies. If you have additional questions, you can reach Trinity County's Office of Emergency Services by phone at 530-623-1116. More information can also be found at trinitycounty.org/OES. Multiple zones in Humboldt also remain under orders and warnings. Those areas are to the south of the Willow Creek Township and east of the Trinity County line. That map is at protect.genesis.com.
Well, so we had a shift in the winds, and we got crews on it, and we got aircraft on it, and that slowed it down considerably. At this point now, we have line all the way around the main part of the fire, and so crews our goal now is to keep it in the same footprint and not let it gain anything more. But, you know, the spot fire yesterday showed us that, you know, we're not done. We're not out of the woods. There's still a wind. It's still a very critical fire weather day yesterday and today because it's windy, it's hot, it's dry. And so the opportunity for this fire to still grow is there. There's no question about that. But we've spent a lot of time and a lot of resources trying to keep it in its footprint where it's at now.
The Hill Fire began 8 days ago and is now mapped at just over 7,000 acres with 10% containment.
Correct. So the acreage number, you're going to see some slight changes in that. You know, certainly the spot fire added to it. And if we have anything else that might spot over the line, that number is going to grow. The acreage should remain fairly constant, barring, the fact that maybe it'll escape its current perimeter. The containment, however, again, assuming that we are going to be able to keep this fire within its current footprint, yes, that will continue to increase. But it doesn't take but just one ember, one spark that, if a tree torches out and the wind catches those embers and blows them across the line, just like it did yesterday, we could be back to the races again. So until we spend quite a bit more time making sure that we've got all the interiors burnt and then the mop-up done on the perimeter, you know, it's too soon to say that this fire's out.
To date, 5 firefighters have been injured on the Hill Fire, and we asked for an update on their medical status.
So none of the injuries have been critical. It's things, we had a bee sting, we've had a rolled ankle, we've had somebody hit with a falling rock, but nothing that is life-threatening in any way. And so all of those firefighters are certainly recovering.
Although no fatalities are currently listed under the Hill Fire informational page, yesterday an aircraft that was reportedly assisting state fire crews crashed near the Neyland Airport, resulting in 2 deaths. CAL FIRE has declined to comment at this time, but stated that more information would be forthcoming. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, however, issued the following press release this afternoon. Quote, on July 23 at approximately 11:15 a.m., Humboldt County Sheriff's Office deputies, fire services, and emergency medical services were dispatched to the Neyland Airport for the report of a fire and possible aircraft crash. CAL FIRE personnel arrived on scene first and reported a fire and wreckage area in a steep ravine north of the airstrip. Deputies arrived on scene to assist and secure the scene. Sadly, 2 confirmed fatalities were located within the wreckage. The bodies were recovered and subsequently transported to the HCSO coroner station, where an autopsy will be performed in the coming days. End quote. The Humboldt Sheriff's Office has turned over the investigation to the National Transportation Safety Board. KMA News reached out for comment, however, they have not returned our inquiry as of news time. KMA News would like to extend our condolences to those who lost a loved one as a result of this incident. Residents who would like a more in-depth report on the Hill Fire, its behavior, and the possibilities of additional evacuation warnings and orders can join first responders in Willow Creek this evening.
So we're going to be meeting at the Bible Church in Willow Creek, where anyone that wants to ask, you know, some one-on-one questions. So we're going to have an operational briefing, so similar to what I just gave, but certainly more in-depth. And, you know, with a map, you're going to have the actual ops section chief. So, I mean, the guy who's literally calling the shots will be there, and we'll, you know, have a discussion about exactly what the fire has done and what the fire management team has done to try to slow it down and stop it in its tracks. So he will be there. The incident managers will all be there. The sheriff's department will all be there. So any, you know, if you've got specific questions pertaining to the fire, and you want to ask in person, this is the place to do that. It's at 7 o'clock this evening.
That meeting will also be live broadcast on the Hill Fire 2024 Facebook and YouTube page. KMUD News will share highlights on tomorrow's newscast or as critical information is released. You can find a series of resources also by following KMUD News on social media. Turning to Mendocino, veterans return to beloved office on west side of Ukiah. Sarah Reith reports.
Mendocino County veterans celebrated the return to their Veterans Services Office on Observatory Avenue in Ukiah during a lunchtime party on Tuesday. Just a few days before Christmas last year, they received word that they would no longer be able to use the roomy house on the west side of town to meet with experts about veterans benefits and services. Instead, they would have to seek services at the public health building a few blocks away on Dora Street. Air Quality Management was slated to move into the observatory house. Veterans were outraged by the peremptory notice and what they viewed as the inadequacy of the accommodations on Dora Street. They demanded a cost-benefit analysis of the move, which was never provided. County officials offered the use of extra office space, a courtyard where veterans could plant a community garden, and a conference room on Dora. But veterans from around the county set their sights on getting back into the house on Observatory. Wilson Chavez is a Navy veteran who serves as commander of the American Legion Post 76 in Ukiah. He stood in the shade of a sycamore tree in the backyard of the newly returned VSO and described his satisfaction with the way it all turned out.
This is so joyful because this is exactly what the veterans need and want. We need a home-like environment for all the veterans because we need a calm environment that is going to be worth it for the staff and for the veterans. And now you can see the outside here is very friendly, home-like. The staff inside can come out, relax. The veterans can come out here and relax.
Laura Quattrochi and her husband Don Shanley of Anderson Valley organized the party to thank the veterans who insisted on moving back to the house, which has a spacious fenced-in backyard and a wheelchair ramp. Quattrochi, who combed through consent calendars for inconsistencies in the justification for the move, was pleased but not at all surprised by the victory.
Were you pretty sure that you were going to win, or was it touch and go there for a while?
We felt that with all the support that somehow we were going to convince the board that this is the place they should be. It didn't matter what they said, we were going to move back. And so here we are.
Robert Permenter shared her certainty.
The powers that be thought that they were going to abscond on our office. And all of us did the thing that veterans know how to do because we all been in the military, is work together. And we decided we were going to keep our space.
Fernanda Gabriela Permenter described some of what it took.
We made call after call after call, and we wrote to Jared Huffman. We did everything. We called these board of supervisors and talked to them and did not rest until we came back.
Shanley was one of the vets who became a fixture at board of supervisors meetings all throughout January until February 28th. That's when the board voted unanimously to reverse the decision, which was made by the leadership of social services. Becky Emery, the former head of the department, is no longer with the county. Shanley described getting the vets back into their preferred quarters as a long haul. He was not impressed with how the original relocation was handled.
It was really the concerted effort of a very small handful of veterans that came to board meeting after board meeting after board meeting to address different issues. We didn't all get together and have a game plan, and everyone seemed to have their own little niche of grievance for why this was ill-conceived, egregious d- decision that was based on nothing, as we came to find out, as we witnessed more and more board meetings. The irony was, when we came to visit Air Quality here, who were very cordial, they were jammed into this observer. It was not even appropriate for them. They had three desks in the front room.
Carl and Alice Stenberg founded the observatory office back in the aughts, when he was the Veterans Services officer and she was his head representative. The building is special to them for another reason. It's where the now married couple met and fell in love. For him, the eviction and the return were an emotional journey.
Did you know you were going to win, or was it ever touch and go?
At the very beginning, I thought, we'll definitely win. They can't do this. It's just so wrong. And but then they did it. They moved. And yeah, I lost a lot of hope. I thought, we probably won't get observatory back. But hopefully we'll get out of those offices, which I think people have called them cubicles, or they were coffins. They were terrible.
Rolf Pollen is an Army veteran who uses a wheelchair. He paid a visit to the office on Dora Street so he could make up his own mind about the new place.
To begin with, it seemed like a very cold, not very inviting environment to go into. After waiting for a while for the VSO representative to finish with the client so that we could go down and visit her office, my wife wheeled me down to the office they had her in, or supposedly the office. And frankly, it appeared to me to be more like had previously been maybe a large storage room for the hospital that was previously there. And there was barely room to get my wheelchair in the door in front of the desk that the VSO representative was seated at. And you couldn't turn around or anything. My wife had to stand behind me in the doorway. And it was like being in a cave. There was no windows. There was three walls and the door out in the hallway.
Pollen views the outcome as a success overall.
From my perspective, the real American democratic process worked out. We brought our concerns to the Board of Supervisors, who were the elected officials in charge of the thing, and they listened to us.
Chavez, the American Legion commander, thinks that if the county had been more respectful of the veterans and given them enough time to find another space, they would have obliged.
We're a quiet community, but if you do something that will mess with the American community, you'll hear from us. Absolutely.
Stenberg has just one more question.
You know, they were in such a hurry to move Veteran Services out of these offices, and all of a sudden they can't find the furniture that was very nice furniture and very appropriate for the officers. Where did it go?
Reporting for KMUD News, I'm Sarah Reif.
In state news, big changes this week for buying and selling homes in California. Suzanne Potter reports.
Big changes are imminent in the way homes are bought and sold as the new forms for transactions in California come out today. The forms are linked to the proposed legal settlement by the National Association of Realtors, which ends the long-standing practice of having a home seller's agent pay a commission to the buyer's agent. That benefited buyers who may not have saved up enough money to pay their agent. Indian Wells realtor George Lopez explains buyers will now have to negotiate a separate contract to hire and pay their own agent.
Even with these changes, a buyer can still purchase a home without having the money to pay their agent. The general public needs to understand that the real estate commissions have been and will always be negotiable, and that they can still potentially negotiate it in their purchase.
The lawsuit contended that the old way of selling homes tended to drive up costs, as buyer's agents had more incentive to steer people to sellers willing to pay a higher commission. The changes are intended to empower home buyers to negotiate for a better deal. Lopez thinks most sellers will still offer to pay a real estate broker rather than risk losing out on a big chunk of the prospective buyer pool. But it'll have to be negotiated in the offer, as commissions will no longer be stated in the multiple listing service. The changes also mean that buyer's agents cannot just meet prospective clients on the fly anymore to go check out a home for sale.
You have to meet me at the office. We have to have a meeting. We have to have an agreement in place that says that you're hiring me, or I can't show you any homes.
The new forms that real estate agents use to complete transactions will take effect nationwide on August 17th. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
In national news, KMUD got an opportunity to speak with our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman. And since we last spoke, much has transpired, including a botched presidential debate, an assassination attempt on a former president, and the current president dropping out of the 2024 race and endorsing the vice president, who, if successful, would break multiple historic barriers. We discussed all of that and more in this interview. Congressman Huffman, I know I don't need to remind you that we are experiencing unprecedented times, but could you share a summary on what your life has been like and role as representative in these moments?
Oh my goodness. Where to start, Lauren? This has been a period of about 3 or 4 weeks, unlike anything that I can remember. I have been deeply involved in this effort to get, for example, Trump's Project 2025 into the national conversation. That started a little over 2 months ago. It just took off like wildfire. And so those efforts have been huge and incredibly productive. I think they've changed some of the national political conversation, and we can certainly talk about that. But then along came President Biden's terrible debate performance, which kind of caused the floor to fall out of Democrats' entire election ambitions. I mean, it was just doom and gloom. And I became really active in trying to open the conversation to a change at the top of the ticket. I led an effort of 2 or 3 dozen colleagues challenging the Democratic Party's attempt to jam through an early roll call vote that would have shut down debate and locked in President Biden at the top of the ticket, and I felt that was a bad thing since we needed to really evaluate a possible change. And then I was one of the members of Congress that did go public last Friday calling for him to pass the torch. And throughout all of this, I've been really a vocal advocate of Vice President Harris being considered for the top of the ticket. So, you know, here we are. Just a few days into this, and it's like an entirely new world.
We also saw the attempted assassination.
And that was huge.
And details continue to emerge. We've actually seen the resignation of the Secret Service director, and today the FBI director testified. What are your thoughts on that historic moment in U.S. politics?
Well, I was horrified by that. And, you know, look, I'm an enormous opponent of Donald Trump. I don't want that guy anywhere near the White House, but I would never wish political violence on anyone. And, you know, I think we're still trying to assess, honestly, was it political violence? Or was it just some crazy guy that wanted to be famous? And, you know, that's why I'm glad that Christopher Wray gave a little more forthcoming testimony. We're beginning to, you know, kind of get a profile of this shooter. And, you know, we clearly dropped the ball on the security side. So we've got to get that sorted out. I am fine with the Secret Service head resigning. I think there has to be accountability. And, you know, more important, we got to fully assess what went wrong and never let that happen again. It's just a terrible lapse in security the more we learn about it.
Do you think the attempted assassination could change how Republicans feel about assault rifles?
No, I don't think there's anything that could change that. I wish it were otherwise. You know, I wish they were capable of that. But, you know, we've just seen too many shootings of every type, and they're always just fine with the weaponry. And they want to find some other thing to blame. And so that's why in the immediate aftermath of this, they were trying to blame Democrats, right? Which is nonsense. I mean, we are not the ones who have been out there inciting violence. And in any event, the more we learn about this shooter, it had nothing to do with political ideology. So I wish that we had more Republicans open to an assault weapons ban, to universal background checks, to other common sense reforms that could help us have less of these tragic shootings, but they just don't seem capable of going there.
Going back to the letter you co-authored, President Biden has since stepped down. What was your immediate reaction, and will you be supporting Kamala Harris?
Well, I had pre-endorsed Kamala Harris. I almost immediately after the debate, I was out there publicly saying, you know, if we make a change, it should be Kamala Harris. And so I was one of the earliest to do that. How am I feeling? Well, you know, I'm feeling gratitude and relief, really. I kind of wanted President Biden to make this decision a little bit sooner, but, you know, this can work. And maybe doing it right after the Republican convention actually is good timing, because it let them spend a week beating up on him, and now we have thrown them for a complete loop. And it is kind of delicious, actually, to watch them cast about, you know, to try to find a message and try to figure out what to do while all of this energy and fundraising and volunteer wellspring, you know, it all just catches fire.
Speaking of messaging, Republican leaders are actually cautioning party members against using overtly racist and sexist attacks on Vice President Harris.
Can't help themselves, Lauren. I mean, geez, you just almost think that there's some inherent racism and misogyny, you know, in a bunch of these extreme MAGA Republicans. I mean, to call her a DEI hire, which a bunch of my colleagues are doing, is insane. I have known Kamala Harris, you know, for more than 15 years. Which DEI hire are they talking about when the people of San Francisco elected her in an open competitive race to be their district attorney, when the people of California made her the attorney general, when we made her the U.S. Senate? When, you know, there hasn't been a DEI hire anywhere in her resume, as far as I can tell.
We are almost out of time, and I do want to touch on the Israeli Prime Minister's address to Congress, but briefly, can you share your thoughts on Donald Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance?
Quickly, Lauren, you know how Trump is trying to run away from Project 2025 as if he knows nothing about it? Well, you can't do that when you just pick J.D. Vance as your running mate. He is like the biggest fanboy for Project 2025 in the United States.
And finally, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared a goal of, quote, total victory against Hamas in his speech to Congress. You did not attend and instead met this morning with families of Israeli hostages who are calling for a ceasefire. However, Netanyahu's address did not indicate any process towards that goal or a hostage release, despite U.S. efforts to mediate these outcomes. What is your take on this horrific situation?
Well, I want a ceasefire. I want this war to end now. I want the hostages returned. It's just gone on too long, and it's too terrible in every way. And Netanyahu is part of the problem. He may be the biggest part of the problem. Hamas is obviously part of the problem too, but that is where we are. And I didn't sit on the House floor. I didn't want to be a political prop for Netanyahu or for the House Republicans that invited him. But I did listen to the speech, and I just found myself asking, why? Why are we giving this guy this platform where he comes and he lavishes praise on Donald Trump and he basically gets to sort of spin his own version of things while insulting anyone in America who has concerns about, you know, Palestinian innocent lives and humanitarian issues? I mean, he was extremely flippant and dismissive and disparaging of, you know, anyone who questioned him. So I found it arrogant. I found it, you know, offensive, and more than anything, just a political stunt that I wanted no part of.
And of course, Congressman Huffman, there's developments with Project 2025, and we have climate change, seeing the world's hottest records yet. We'll have to save those for our next check-in. Anything else you would like to add today?
It's been a heck of a whirlwind, but I'm sure we'll have more to discuss next time. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you again, Congressman Huffman.
Thanks, Lauren.
Again, that was our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman. If you have questions you would like asked, you can email them to news@kema.org. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our reporters, Sarah Reith and Suzanne Potter. And thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send us an email to news@kmod.org. And a very special happy birthday to our good friend, Walker Wise. Reporting from the studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.